At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I am back as the commish.
Oh, no.
You have deal with me. The power.
I mean, if you're the commissioner, we got to boo you. That's the rule. The way it goes. I don't know. I feel like you having the power. Now, with this power that you so wield,
comes great responsibility.
Thank you, Uncle Ben. Anyway, with this power that you wield oh so well, will you be allowing pretty much anything to take place here, or will you be ruling with an iron fist?
I usually rule with an iron fist.
Okay.
We keep this as realistic as possible. Trades are allowed, but we do try and keep things realistic. We had one year, the Cowboys GM traded the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders for a draft pick. Someone traded Shad Khan's yacht
for a draft pick. It's a very nice yacht.
It's a big boat. It's a nice boat.
It's a really nice yacht.
So we're going to try and keep things more realistic this year. Okay. All right, here we go. We have a winner. Zach in Cleveland. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Zach.
Thank you.
You betcha. Okay, here we go. Got cameras in here and everything. My witness. We gotta find a team for you here, Zach. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Okay, here we are. Let's see who we got. Oh, a good one. You're gonna have to wait a little while though. Congratulations, you are the Buffalo Bills.
Yay.
All right, there you go. You are the Buffalo Bills. So, Zach, hold on the line. We'll get you all set up for our mock draft taking place April 17th at Razzle's, located on Bagley Road in Olmsted Falls. So there you go. Dan, let me hand you the card.
The official card.
There it is for the cameras to see. The Buffalo Bills. Zach will be the GM of the Buffalo Bills. There you go.
No one circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
There we go. So looking forward to seeing Zach and the rest of you out at Razzle's on April 17th. And again, I'm the commish.
With an iron fist.
An iron fist.
So boo accordingly.
Hey, listen, I've been worse than booed, so it's nothing I have not heard before.
Please don't treat this like vaudeville and start throwing any expired vegetables at him.
Why did you even have to go there? We're going to an establishment that serves delicious food. It's going to be a buffet, and you want to turn it into an Animal House food fight. What's wrong with you?
Some people just want to watch the world burn. Some people just want to watch you up on stage having to dodge rotten tomatoes. Some people want this. A cabbage, maybe, just getting launched. Maybe someone brought a watermelon. Who knows? I'm here for a party.
Watermelon's going to hurt. That's assuming it can make it.
Right.
It needs to go.
That or it just turns into Gallagher.
Oh, watermelon bomb. Yeah, okay. I think I'm just going to host the rest of the show solo now. 216-474-0092.
We've crossed the Gallagher line. All right, he's out.
Dan's out here advocating for watermelons to be thrown at me. I mean, look, I was going to let you slide with the tomato, okay? But when you
I told people not to treat this like vaudeville. I'm looking out for you.
But when you go to fruits and vegetables that could cause damage, that's where I draw the line.
Again, don't go vaudeville on Daryl. That's what we're asking. This isn't some old-timey thing. He's not going to get the hook or anything like that.
Listen, the mock drafts are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to it, we have a lot of fun with you. We've done it in years past. Took a couple years because, well, the Browns didn't have a first-round pick. Hard to do a mock draft when the Browns aren't picking. Am I allowed to look in the bowl and see what's left?
No. I think that's cheating. I think that's pre-looking at lottery numbers.
I'm going to look.
Don't stack that. Well, of course you're going to look.
I can tell you which teams have been given away already if you want to know that.
Yeah, I was going to say that'd probably be a faster process considering this bowl is still pretty full.
All right. So the teams that have been given away so far, the Raiders, the Eagles, the Falcons were our day one winners. Day two, we gave away the Chargers, the Bears, the Vikings.
Okay.
Yesterday, we gave away the Ravens, the Broncos, and I don't know who we gave away after that. Ravens,
well,
Broncos.
Andrew Berry's
Dolphins.
Job is still up for grabs. Here it is.
Dolphins. Yeah. And then today is the Lions and the Bills.
That's why I was looking in the bowl. I wanted to see if, I don't know, maybe, hey, you know what? Maybe on April 17th at Razzles, we're going to find Andrew Berry's replacement.
The person who could pull off the Kirk Cousins trade. The one person who could figure out how to make this thing work.
So here's the faulty in that logic is that whoever gets, I mean, everyone who's showing up, I'm assuming, is going to be a Browns fan because we're all in Ohio. So the person who is playing the Falcons will probably be like, yeah, I'll give you Kirk Cousins for a dollar. Because he wants him to go to the Browns.
Well, I and me as commissioner, I would probably not approve that trade. Because
$2.
It doesn't fit within the trade guidelines of the National Football League.
$1.2 million.
Well, you got to pay Kirk the league minimum.
What's the veteran league minimum?
League minimum, it's around like $1.2 million
and
change.
That's why I said $1.2.
You're right there. You had it. You're right there. That's what they do with Deshaun's contract every year. They take $44.8 million and write a check, and then they save the $1.2 million for, I think it's now 36 payments. That's used to be, it was the weeks of the season.
Oh, yeah, you're
guys
right.
Guys got paid, we get paid, but that got changed in recent years, so I think it's now a 36 payment plan to receive your salary. But, yeah, you have to get at least the league minimum on that.
That's going to be fun.
All right, so again, just for transparency, I'm now putting the Browns ticket here. Hear that? There we go. Okay. I'm putting the Browns ticket back in the bowl, and I'm mixing it up. I did not fold the paper. I did not do anything.
You didn't freeze the envelope?
I didn't freeze the envelope.
There will be no Patrick Ewing situation here.
Right, okay. I did not weight the ping pong balls. As LeBron thinks happened for the Cavaliers in 2003. The ticket's back in the bowl, and it is where it is, and there you go. I'm putting it over there, so there we go. It's all on the up and up.
Okay, so when we last left you, you brought up the last person that you wanted to see play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns was Kenny Pickett.
Okay, maybe he's the second to last, because Deshaun Watson is the last.
Why?
Well, because he's blown out his Achilles twice.
No, not him. Now this is why I need tomatoes. Anyway, why do you not want to see Kenny Pickett as the starting quarterback of the Browns?
Because I watched him be the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that a good enough reason for you?
I mean, it was ugly. It was real ugly.
I'm sorry, but that answer not satisfactory enough for you?
But he had those, because this is the sell job. Now, I am also with you. If they put Kenny Pickett out there, I'm going to be like, okay, fine, whatever. It's good. It's going to feel very similar to how I felt when they threw Bailey Zappe out there. I'm like, okay, fine, I got nothing better, so why not?
Yeah.
But there are some people who are out there who will sell you on the idea that he had enough late comebacks that maybe if you continue to play top...
So he's Brian Sipe 2.0?
If you play top 5 to top 8 defense, run the ball decently enough, and keep the game within a score, Kenny Pickett might be able to get you over the hump. That would be the sell job that would take place. Again, okay. These are not my words. These are not my feelings. No, these are not my opinions. This is the opinion that's placed to people who think that Kenny Pickett could be the guy that can maybe tread water.
Fantastic. I'm sold. As I roll my eyes. You're really playing the comeback card. You're really playing the cardiac kid card.
I got nothing. This is the deck we are left to play.
And yet my response of I watched him as the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers and I was good was not sufficient enough for you.
I'm giving you the pushback.
That is some weak pushback, even for you.
These are not my opinions. I look at Kenny Pickett the same way I looked at Bailey Zappi, where it was like, okay, fine. I don't have a better idea. Let's do this.
Well, I mean, look, I keep saying we have reached the throw something against the wall and see if it can stick portion of the program. That is the Cleveland Browns wishing upon a star, hoping they can finally find a franchise quarterback. It's only been about 50 years since Otto Graham played football for the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, Bernie Kosar is a little sooner. Got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, but Otto Graham won championships.
Oh, that's valid. I'm just looking for above-average quarterback play.
And by the way, kudos to the NFL, including...
Yeah, that was cool.
Including the AAFC pick. So the Browns' total of 8 championships officially recognized, even though the league really doesn't them because they have as many trophies in their case as I do, and that is 0. Zip. Zilch, nada. I'm sorry, was that a little too over the top? 216-474-0092.
Not only did that feel like you kicked them when they were down, it felt like you then took a crowbar and hit them in the back when they were down.
I kind of curb stomped them there, didn't I? Well, they haven't won a division title since 1989.
See, now you're just... Now hang on.
Glass half full, they officially have more championships than the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Browns have won a playoff game more recently than the Pittsburgh Steelers. See? There, you know what? Glass is half full.
You can be complimentary. It is in there.
Actually, that's kind of a backhanded compliment, but it's still a compliment. It counts.
It's a sliding scale.
It's where we're at, though. I mean,
it's a sliding scale.
They haven't won a division title since 1989.
The thing is
the best they finished is second, and I think they've done that twice, maybe 3 times.
All right,
since coming back.
So right now, if you are a Cleveland Browns fan,
I feel bad for you, but go ahead.
What is your path to hope?
Your path to hope is that they go young at quarterback. And Kevin Stefanski can develop one of these young kids into something. The comment that really stood out to me, and you know I'm going to save it for the next segment. There is a comment that Jimmy Haslam made to reporters at the owners' meetings in West Palm Beach, Florida this week that really stood out to me concerning the prospects at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns and their search for that franchise guy. It's Daryl Ryder, Dan Menigan. We're with you until 2 in for Baskin and Phelps on The Fan. Daryl Ryder, Dan Menigan with you until 2 here on The Fan. We're in for Baskin and Phelps. Phelps will be back with me tomorrow. This just in from the NFL. We kind of had an idea about this, but the official offseason dates have been announced for the entire league.
Huzzah!
And so for the Browns, the offseason program will begin on April 22nd. OTAs will be scheduled for May 27th through 28th, May 30th, June 3rd through 4th, June 6th, June 16th through 19th. They have a mandatory minicamp June 10th through 12th. So that is a very interesting, because it used to be mandatory minicamp and then summer vacation. It's a little different this year now. It looks like for the OTAs being following, I should say, minicamp. That's really bizarre. And I'm kind of scrolling right now through. They may have made a mistake there. I think there might be a mistake there because I'm looking through here. No other team right now has anything after their mandatory camp.
Or, can I go conspiracy theory on you?
Yeah.
Or, what they want to do is have everybody show up for mandatory mini camp and then be there and go, well, I'm already here. I may as well show up to OTAs as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and the Browns are the only team that has that on their schedule.
I wonder if that might be the case, because that's kind of smart if you do it that way, where it's like, okay, we're already here.
Nope, I'm wrong. The Chargers are doing the same thing. So the Chargers mandatory minicamp, similar to the Browns, June 10th through 12th, and then they have some OTA scheduled for the 16th through the 18th. The Rams are also doing the doing the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
I wonder
Bears
if...
as well. So, okay, so the Browns aren't the only one. I just... That was a little bit of a culture shock to me, because...
Heck yeah.
My favorite day of the summer is the final day of mandatory minicamp. School's out for summer, baby. See y'all in late August or late July. So that's an interesting little wrinkle. Teams now doing some OTAs after mandatory minicamp this year. That is very interesting. You know, why can't the NFL just stay consistent? Why do we have to change stuff every year?
Because it's the NFL. This is what they do. They perpetually are looking and perpetually tinkering.
Get off my lawn!
And perpetually messing with things. You know, change is good for you.
Listen.
Cause you evolve, become a stronger person.
I got the NBA finals that I'm going to be doing. I don't have time for your OTAs. Okay? I don't have time for your OTAs so you can go 5-12 this year. Okay? We got the NBA finals. If everybody shows up to mandatory minicamp, Kevin Stefanski, I implore you, cancel that week of OTAs.
We got a baseball team that doesn't have to go back to San Diego.
We could potentially have a parade we need to attend. We don't have time for your OTAs after minicamp.
I don't have time to have a bad time. It's none of my schedule.
I don't have time for you extending my summer workload.
Actually, that's kind of smart. If they're doing it this way because they want to get, even if it turns into 75%.
Was that enough to get off my lawn for you, by the way?
It felt right.
Okay.
Yeah. 65% of your starters, your paid guys to show up for that last bit of OTAs to maybe hammer something home. Like, that makes a level of sense.
Yeah, also, too, for injured guys.
Right.
You know who's going to be at OTAs this year? Myles Garrett. Because he's going to be paid well to be there.
I was going to say...
And he can have a smile on his face.
Properly compensated. Yes. He'll be there.
Tell us how great they're going to be.
I mean, we'll see what this all looks like. We'll see
how amazing the quarterbacks look. How fast they're learning the system.
I'm really impressed with their ability to evade my rushes.
No, that doesn't happen. No. The best part of the offseason program there is, at least for the quarterbacks, is that Miles isn't able to kill them. That's the best part of the red jersey, because there would be some bodies buried under those practice fields in Berea if Myles Garrett was really allowed to do what Myles Garrett typically does.
That's valid. That's real valid.
Just saying.
I've seen that enough times, and we've seen enough Browns quarterbacks.
Irv in Cleveland, I guess, wants to talk about some Browns championships. Irv, you're next up on the fan. How are you, bud?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing better than the Browns trophy case, that's for sure.
Man, hold up a second, man. Okay. You mean the Browns not having Super Bowls, right? Because they got eight championships.
That is correct.
I've been trying this for years. I've been on social media going for, you know, to war, right? I've gone after ESPN. I've asked Stephen A. Smith, why don't they recognize the Browns championships?
Well, now the NFL is officially recognizing those.
Exactly.
And they're recognizing the records. So it's shaking up the NFL record book a little bit.
That's right. Because guess what? We have the best football player who ever played, period. Jim Brown. Okay? How can you honor Jim Brown but not honor his records? You understand?
You know, hey, you're Irv, you're preaching to the choir, okay?
I know.
When I talk about the lack of Vince Lombardi trophies, that's kind of just me throwing a shot across the bow and a little tongue in cheek, because, well, that's also fact.
Right.
But, you know, back in the day, in the late 40s, the 50s, and into the early 60s, folks don't realize around the country, the Cleveland Browns were the New York Yankees of professional football. The standard. Every year, death taxes and the Cleveland Browns were playing for a championship. That's just how it went. And it's just unfortunate that since 1964, the Browns can't even get back to where they're actually playing for a championship. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll get lucky here. They'll find a quarterback, and they will be able to do that. Because, like, that's what I want. That's what I know you as a Browns fan want. I know that's what Browns fans want. And I know that's what the Haslams want. For all the grief I give them for how things have gone, I mean, they do want to win. They just haven't been able to figure it out.
That's true.
All right, Irv, thanks for the call, bud. But yeah, it's good that it's getting recognized now, because when you it is interesting when the graphics come out, right? I think this year's graphic was teams that have won a Super Bowl, and they put Tom Brady first up with 7 Vince Lombardi trophies. I think it was Fox Sports that did the graphic.
That sounds about right.
They did Tom Brady with the 7 Vince Lombardi trophies as a little tongue-in-cheek for the quote-unquote teams that have won a Super Bowl. I'm scrolling through my phone right now because I know I saved the graphic. But it was actually pretty cool the way they did it. And then, of course, the Steelers and the Patriots.
Right. They were good. They've succeeded often. Chiefs are making their way up there slowly but surely.
Yeah, the Chiefs are creeping up there now. They got 4.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another one. Someone ran through like the end of the century into AI.
They ran
through the projected Super Bowl champions from now until the end of the century. And I guess come the 2070s, there's a big three-peat coming for the Cleveland Browns. So you hang in there, Browns fan.
Start figuring out your Ted Williams cryogenic chamber.
Only 50 more years to go for the big three-peat, according to artificial intelligence.
We can do this. We have the technology.
Harvey in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. How are you, Harvey?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Hanging in there. What do you got for us, my friend?
Well, I actually had a draft take, but the latest conversation kind of turned my...
Well, you're welcome to give us another left turn. It's okay.
All right. Well, first of all, they need to go defense and offensive line.
Okay.
There ain't any quarterbacks worth anything in the world. And I just moved back from Houston. I've been gone for 20 years, and I grew up from Berea, and I used to watch a Browns practice facility.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm a cancer patient. My birthday is April 17th, and I was hoping to toss me some free tickets for the soiree at Razzle.
Well, here's what you got to do, Harvey. What was it, 9, noon, and 5 when we do that, Dan?
Yes, 9, noon, and 5 p.m.
Okay, so what you got to do, Harvey, at 9, noon, and 5 over the next couple of days, be standing by to hit up the phones and see if we can get you in and get you one of these teams, okay?
Yeah, if not, I'll come over there and hang out with you guys anyways.
Well, come on out. I'll be there.
It's a great place.
We'll have a great time, okay?
But I'm telling you, defense and offensive line.
Starts in the trenches.
That is called a meat and potatoes draft there, Harvey, and thanks for the call.
I'm in for if they decide to go defensive line, like I've been banging the table saying Mason Graham for a long period of time. I know you cannot roll Mason Graham out at 2.
Yeah, not at 2.
Everybody, we've done it.
If they
buy
move,
your jerseys for a defensive tackle.
If they move back, I'll hear that. If they stay at 2, I want Travis Hunter. That's my guy. You know what? That is the guy I'll pound the table for. Because I feel like I'm getting 2 players for 1.
I can get behind Travis Hunter. I'm good with Travis Hunter there. I am good if they go Abdul Carter there.
Yeah.
I am not totally sold on Shedeur Sanders. I know there are a lot of people who are. I'm not totally sold on it. I've enough smart people have come in and said, hey, right. a lot of those sacks he's taking are kind of on him. He right. kind of tries to play hero ball without having the athleticism to play hero ball.
Well, he likes to fade back. He didn't have a good offensive line. He had Travis Hunter and a bunch of guys.
Right.
He's hard to evaluate, but I kind of feel like that there is some name recognition that's factored into this
yes,
whole
yes.
thing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Because look, if I was in, you know, Deion Sanders' shoes, I'd be doing the same thing for my kid.
Of course.
So I certainly am not going to be a hypocrite here and criticize that.
Of course not.
But at the same time, I watched 4 Colorado games live this year. One of them was the BYU game. And I'm just going to say I wasn't impressed. He didn't jump off my television
right.
screen. Watching those games. Do I think he has talent? Yes. Do I think he can be developed into something? Yes. But I'm not spending the second overall pick on a guy that I'm hoping I can develop into something. And it's the same thing why, you know, I'm not interested in the, you know, the Will Howard conversation. I know there's like a small segment of Buckeye fans are like, well, the Browns should take Will Howard with the second overall. Are you out of your mind?
He feels like Mac Jones.
Like,
watch Will Howard, and it felt like watching Mac Jones.
You take that guy in the middle rounds. Third, yeah. fourth, fifth round. I don't know where he's going to go, but that's where you take Will Howard. Again, you're throwing something against the wall, hoping something sticks. That's what that situation. Look, I'm one of the biggest Buckeye honks out there, okay?
Yeah.
I wear the scarlet and gray, okay? I look through things with the scarlet and gray sunglasses. I will openly admit that. But even I'm like, yeah, as much as I love what Will Howard did winning a national championship. Because Buckeye fans said, well, he won a national championship. Yeah, well, guess what? So did Craig Krenzel. And please, tell me how his pro football career worked out for him. Winning a national championship, again, love it, respect it, appreciate it as a Buckeye fan. That does not mean the guy is a first-round pick. That's all I'm saying. 216-474-0092 if you want to weigh in on the draft conversation and... should the Browns find some way, any way, to have us deal with Kirk Cousins for a year?
Our social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at Right or Wrong Fan, at The Sports Feller on Twitter, or at CLE Talking Heads if you so desire. Like Cleveland United States Marine Corps, thank you for your service on this one. Well, yeah, Vince Lombardi never won a Vince Lombardi trophy either.
By the way, totally against the Vince Lombardi trophy being renamed. Very against it, because there was some talk maybe they should rename it for Bill Belichick. Totally against that.
I have one response and one response only to that.
What the hell's going on out here?
Amen to that. It's Daryl Ryder, Dan Madigan. We're with you till 2 in for Baskin and Phelps on The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those 3 listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, Mike Sando from The Athletic will get his thoughts. He covers the NFL. Get his thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft, the whole Kirk Cousins thing. We had D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on earlier, and he basically told us it's probably not going to happen. Like, it doesn't seem to be a clear, concise path to Kirk Cousins becoming a Cleveland Brown. From a money standpoint, salary cap standpoint, and all that, even if the Falcons would be willing to trade him, which that's kind of like the latest piece of this saga. Kirk wants out. He's still salty that they drafted Michael Penix and didn't tell him that they were going to draft him. And he would like a change of scenery. But, you know, the question would be, would he even want to come to Cleveland, considering the Browns are going to draft 1 or 2 quarterbacks here in the upcoming draft? The question is, where will the Browns draft those quarterbacks? Will it be at number 2? Will they wait until the second round or the third round or the fourth round? So, but I maintain I don't know that Kirk Cousins moves the needle here. I guess the over-under, Dan, you were telling me earlier, it has moved north. It has moved from 4.5 to 5.5, and now I want no part of that action. I was good at 4.5. I would have taken the over, but now that it's at 5.5.
Feels a little tougher.
That is, that's just mean by the folks in the desert. That's just mean. They should have left it at 4.5 for me.
So the one thing that keeps kind of coming up in all of this draft prep and all that as well, the name Tyler Shuck is now starting to get thrown around a little bit more than it was in the past.
You know what I'm hoping?
Yes.
The only reason I hope the Browns draft him so I can have the headline, "Oh, Shucks."
That's pretty good. That's a writer right there. That's a writer. That's a writer. But that name keeps coming up because I've heard it a couple different places of people who are evaluating these quarterbacks and are saying that guy fits what Kevin Stefanski wants to do.
That's great. He's been in college for 7 years.
Blutarski was a senator. He ended up as a senator.
You know who else spends 7 years in college?
Dan Menigan?
Doctors and lawyers.
Look who got me.
I shouted Van Wilder from back here. Daryl had a much more serious explanation than I did.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't hear you through the glass.
I know. I shouted it without putting my mic on because I wasn't intending to go on air with it because I thought that's what you were going to say.
No, so that's the line from Tommy Boy. David Spade. Yeah, you know, because Tommy needed 7 years to go through college.
Mm-hmm.
That was Tommy's response. Yeah, you know who else goes to college for seven years? They're called doctors.
Doctors.
Great movie. Still holds up to this very day.
And just had an anniversary. Had a big anniversary.
I think 30th anniversary. If
yeah, 30th
correct.
Anniversary.
With Val Kilmer passing away. So I had the Cavs game last night. So in the afternoon, I watched Val as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Batman Forever.
It was Batman Forever, yes.
If I remember correctly.
Batman Forever, because Batman and Robin was the
Jim
Clooney one.
Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yep, yep.
Joker and Two-Face. Watch that. And then I watched Top Gun.
Nice. Iceman. And that's such a bummer.
Yeah. He was one of my favorite. He was outstanding in Heat.
He is outstanding in Heat. And he is outstanding.
Phenomenal in Heat.
And he is outstanding in Tombstone, too.
Yeah.
He is outstanding as Doc Holliday.
So that's what I did yesterday. That was my
that's a good day.
That was my Cavs pregame preparation.
It's a good day.
That's how I got ready for Cavs and Knicks. I watched some Val Kilmer movies.
That's going to be this weekend for me.
Well, when Gene Hackman passed away, I fired up Crimson Tide.
God, that's
Hoosiers,
a good movie too.
Enemy of the State.
That's a really
good
movie.
He was fantastic in that. He did so many good movies. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like my new bit now. When big name actors pass away, I fire up some of their
The Firm. He's great in The Firm with Tom Cruise.
Amazing.
And Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. The diabetes guy.
As he became known later on.
Well, back in the day when I worked late nights and overnights, all the late night commercials were Wilford Brimley doing the diabetes commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just...
About the horse.
Like him on a horse.
Sorts of goofiness.
Well, and the commercials were like on repeat, too. Like, it wasn't like he was in every commercial break. No, it was every commercial in the break. Like, that particular commercial was on repeat over and over and over again. In between, I think it was the Matlock reruns. Like, that's what they did overnights. They played Matlock reruns.
How did we get on the Wilford Brimley?
I don't know. I told you. We're taking a few detours today.
What is happening here?
Taking a few detours here. Listen, I only have so much to say about should the Browns take Shedeur Sanders at number two? The answer you're looking for there is no. Should the Browns take Travis Hunter at number two? The answer you're looking for is absolutely yes.
Should they take Abdul Carter at two?
I have some concerns.
Okay.
I have some concerns about the medicals.
Okay.
Because I did not spend 7 years in college.
Hurtful, as I'm standing right here.
And I'm not a doctor. So I do have some concerns, and I realize what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski said at the owners' meetings about there's no concerns about the medicals. Well, that's great. You have no concerns, at least publicly. I have concerns publicly about the medicals. Because my worst nightmare is the Browns take Abdul Carter at two, And then we get to the offseason program, and the Cleveland Browns announced that he has surgery to repair the stress, whatever is going on in his feet.
Well, and you start getting that whole thing of, oh, he's taking, we're taking him as a redshirt year. This is a redshirt year. Right. And you're like, oh.
I'm not interested in redshirt years.
And especially
with the number two pick in the draft.
And especially foot injuries.
And considering the current state of the quarterback room and all that kind of stuff, right? That it, you know, it's rather lonely right now. Kenny Pickett's rather lonely. It's him and nobody else. Like if they do draft Shedeur Sanders, I say play him week one. If that's what they do, play him week one.
See, I'm not there.
Why?
Any quarterback I take on.
Jaden Daniels turned around the Washington Commanders, played as a rookie.
He was a higher ceiling prospect.
I don't care.
That point.
He's one of the best. If you're taking a two, you're a higher ceiling prospect in my mind.
But that's. But every draft is different, man.
You can't just
live life going, okay, well, he's at two. Clearly, he's outstanding. It's like, well, wait a minute. No. Because if that's the case, then the first quarterback taken was Kenny Pickett, and we should all be like worshiping it. Like, we should be doing that.
Kenny Pickett was not.
No, he was like taken, 15. He was like 15
he's
or 16.
A mid-round, first round pick.
Right. But still, we're saying the first quarterback taken in this draft that should be taken that high.
Cam Ward's going to go one. He shouldn't, but he's going to. The Titans are going to take him. It is what it is. Clearly, the Browns don't feel that Cam Ward is worthy of that, or else they would go up and go get him.
Right.
And Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski basically said at the owners' meetings, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, we're not going to trade up and go get him.
So that tells you all you need to know about their evaluation, because quarterback desperate team, not willing to go to number one to get the best quarterback in this draft class, tells you all you need to know about this quarterback draft class.
Including the fact that they have done nothing this offseason that reeks of any level of desperation.
Right.
Have been so methodical.
Yeah. You know what? I have no problem with how the Browns have handled the quarterback room this offseason. Kenny Pickett is a... is an improvement from Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That's an upgrade, okay? Yeah. Deshaun Watson's not available, and the rest of the quarterback room being empty, in my mind, right now, it's an upgrade.
If he plays this year, something has gone horrendously wrong.
Who?
Deshaun Watson.
Well, no, if he plays this year, a miracle has happened.
That too.
I have no expectation.
I have none either.
He blew out the Achilles twice in 3 months.
Correct.
Okay?
That's a year-long recovery from an injury.
Yeah. And no matter how many pictures he posts of himself in Berea, wearing the same thing that he wore when he did his original hype video, including photos of him laying on a massage table, which I think is as tone-deaf as you possibly can get, he's not available this year. And even if he was available this year, I don't know what you get out of him.
Correct.
So it's move on.
Yep.
On to the next. Spin the quarterback wheel again and see. Let's find out what pops up. But right now, it would appear, because I am projecting, they will have four quarterbacks. Okay. Pickett, draft two guys, and then your undrafted rookie free agent. I am assuming the Kirk Cousins trade does not happen. Based on what D. Orlando Ledbetter told us in the 11 o'clock hour, it doesn't seem like it's feasible to happen. Just from an economic standpoint, salary cap manipulation standpoint, whatever, right?
Right.
Stars just don't seem to be aligning there, and you can't just rip up the contract, sign him for $1.2 million or whatever, and that's just going to be that. The NFLPA will lose their mind if Kirk Cousins leaves that kind of cash on the table, especially after signing a contract to be paid that.
Right.
So it doesn't seem feasible. So we can wish upon a star all you want. Right now, it felt like the train was on rolling down the track again for Kirk Cousins coming to the Browns. But right now, I don't know if that's going to happen now.
It's seeming like that's taking a different path at this point.
I think we've hit the emergency brake on that.
I have always been of the thought process that I like my quarterbacks to sit. Now, that might be growing up a Green Bay Packers fan, and that's just what we do. And maybe it's just I don't know any better, and this has seemed to work, so that's why I'm following.
Well, the reason why your quarterbacks have sit, let's be fair, is, you had Brett Favre.
That is correct.
Okay? So you weren't replacing him right away. Then you went to Aaron Rodgers, and you had Aaron Rodgers, and you weren't replacing him right away. So, like, yeah, you're right. It's easy to sit a quarterback when you have a future Hall of Famer that's on the field.
We've laid that out. I think there is something to how the Chiefs handled Patrick Mahomes. And okay. I think there is something to how teams that have sat these quarterbacks for a little bit of time to let them learn, to let them process, to let them see how fast the league is, to let them understand that these offenses, while yes, similar to what you're running in college, are a little bit more elaborate than what you're running in college, and those windows are a lot tighter than what you had in college as well. I think that is beneficial to more guys succeeding in the league and succeeding in the future better. So that's why if you took Shador at two, I would come in here and go, okay, I'm fine with it. I'll get over it. It's not the move I'd make, but I'm in. Please sit him.
Yeah, I'm. If you're taking him at two, you got to play him. And the reason you got to play him is because you have Kenny Pickett and nobody else. You have to play him. You have to. And this is, again, one of many problems the Browns seem to always run into. They have gone into seasons with the plan of redshirting a quarterback. And then four guys get hurt, and you got to put them on the field. I give you Cody Kessler. That guy was a third-round pick. He wasn't supposed to ever see the field.
He told you that on NFL Network.
He was starting by week five. So that is the complication that the Browns have always really had to deal with. Mike Sando from The Athletic covers the NFL. We're going to get some thoughts from him, not only on the whole Kirk Cousins thing, but we're going to talk to him about what the Browns should do with the second pick in the draft. Should it be Shador? Should it be Travis Hunter? Should it be Abdul Carter? Should they trade down? We're going to cover all the scenarios with you.
He also has a piece out thinking that the Browns may be reprising what they've done in the past.
Dan Madigan, Daryl Ryder, we're with you till 2 in for Baskin and Phelps